Hello, everyone. Brett Maddox here of the Podokesis Podcast. Excited to bring you another episode today. We will be continuing our series through the Ten Commandments, specifically looking at the third commandment of not taking the name of the Lord in vain. Before we get started with that, though, I want to remind you that March 15 through 17 of 2022 in Dayton, Ohio, the Spirit and Truth Conference will be going on, and we at the Podokesis Podcast were part of the Spirit and Truth Podcasting Network. You can find out all about that at spiritandtruth.life. You can also find out at that website about the Spirit and Truth Conference in Dayton, Ohio, and if you register for that, if you register for that conference, you can put in the discount code Podokesis to get $20 off your registration fee, which is awesome, and we're thankful for that. And we would love to see you there. Myself, Jim, and Alan will be there, and we're excited about it. So that's March 15th through the 17th, 2022 in Dayton, Ohio, and Podokesis. Put Podokesis in the registration discount box, and you'll get $20 off your registration. And you can find out all about that at spiritandtruth.life. As always, you can find us at Podokesis on social media. Questions@podokesis.com is our email. If you need to send us some comments or questions, you can even call us at 404-635-6679 and leave a voicemail. And who knows, maybe your voicemail will be played on a future show. Well, that's all I've got right now. I'm excited about this new episode, so let's go ahead and get started with the show. Hello, Podokumens, and welcome to the Podokesis Podcast, a podcast about what Christians believe and why it matters. I'm Brett Maddox, and once again, we're joined by your very best friends and third-year dropouts from Hogwarts, Jim Morrow and Alan Kaysen.
Go Gryffindor!
It was the best 3 years of my life.
I know. You just couldn't, yeah. I heard that fourth year was going to be tough.
And I learned how to Wingardium and to Leviosa.
What I did learn is that they don't like muggles. Okay.
Well, yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Absolutely. Mm. Well, we hope that y'all are doing well out there in Podokesis land. As always, you can hit us up on social media. At Podokesis is where you'll find us on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. And we do ask that you leave us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and share us with your friends and family wherever they get their favorite podcast. You can find us. We're excited to come to you once again with a discussion about the Ten Commandments. And today we're going to be talking particularly about the third commandment, which is to not take the name of the Lord in vain, or not to take the Lord's name in vain. So, we're going to go ahead and get started with this. And we're going to start with, as we've been doing with the Ten Commandments, we're just going to read to y'all the questions and answers from John Wesley's revision of the Westminster Shorter Catechism that has to do, there's a whole group of questions here and answers that deal with the third commandment. And so the first question is, right off the bat, which is the third commandment?
Curious.
Curious. The third commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain.
You know, I don't know if I actually knew. So that's from Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. I don't know if I actually knew that last part there. And we'll talk about what that means, that for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. But yikes. So let's move on to the next one.
Yikes. That is our commentary for today.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. So that's from the original Hebrew. If you want Brett's penetrating analysis, it is this. Wait for it. Yikes.
Yikes. Yikes. That's exactly right. And so then,
jankies.
Then the next question from the catechism is, what is required in the third commandment?
Well, the third commandment requires the holy and reverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word, and works.
And then we move on to the next question. What is forbidden in the third commandment?
The third commandment forbids all profaning or abusing of anything by which God makes himself known.
And I think the key to this here is that last part of makes himself known. That becomes a big piece to what this catechism is trying to show and what the overall meaning behind this commandment is. And then The next question, or the last question, is what is the reason annexed to the third commandment?
The reason annexed to the third commandment is that however the breakers of this commandment may escape punishment from men, yet the Lord our God will not suffer them to escape his righteous judgment.
Ooh. And once again, yikes.
Yikes! Zoinks! Profound, yes, deep, theological reflection. Yikes!
So... Who said zoinks? Was that you, Jim?
It was Shaggy.
Shaggy.
Was
Shorky?
Shaggy?
Okay, is that Yoda and Scooby-Doo mixed together, Brett?
Yes, it
or
is.
Alan? Yeah.
Hey, boo-boo, give me a bigoted basket.
I'm coming up with all of them. All the tunes all? Are coming
so,
out. All right.
So for all of you listening, what's happened is because these two are not allowed to take the Lord's name in vain anymore, they've run out of content.
It's true.
They have nothing else to say, so they've resorted to Hanna-Barbera cartoon impersonations.
Well,
you're not wrong.
You only got what you got. You only That's got right. what you got.
You've got us figured out. Okay, so... these group of questions and answers from the Catechism have a number of scripture passages that go along with it. We're just going to pick and choose a few here, and we're going to start off with something from Matthew.
Yeah. So Matthew 6:9, the disciples come to Jesus and they want to be taught how to pray. John's disciples, they have a certain way of praying. This is John the Baptist. His mm-hmm. disciples have a certain way of praying. So he wants They want to learn how to pray, and what we get is what we know in the church as the Lord's Prayer. And I just want to read you the beginning of it. And it Jesus says to them, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy be your name." And so kind of to clue us in and to get us into this commandment, something that many of us pray either on a weekly basis or possibly a daily basis, depending on your spiritual practice. We're reminded of this third commandment all the time, essentially, that we're to keep God's name holy. And so, but you know, if you're like me, and this is just confession time, we kind of sometimes just read over through the Lord's Prayer. Like that's how I end my pastoral prayers on Sunday, you know, and we all join in. And so we just say the words because that's what we've been doing. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of richness and a lot of theology in that Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. And then I just want to read kind of going along with that. Psalm 138 verses 1-2. The psalmist writes, "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame." And the psalmist is just really just speaking about lifting up God's name above all else, including before the gods, before anything else that we try to lift up. We lift up the name of God. And so... yeah, there we go. That kind of kicks us off.
I liked what. Thank you for sharing there about the Lord's Prayer, particularly. You know, I think for a lot of us, it does become this almost rote thing that happens only on Sundays. But really, the Lord was teaching the disciples how to pray with that, and I know that me on a pastoral level, when I lead us into the Lord's Prayer on Sunday mornings in our traditional services, I've been struck by that idea of, Lord, when we don't even know what to pray, teach us to pray as you taught your disciples. And I just know that there's so many who don't even know how to pray or what to pray, when to pray, what prayer is like. And I've been struck lately by the catechetical function of the Lord's Prayer to teach how to pray. And it starts off with this idea that God is holy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, thank you for pointing that out, Alan.
Yeah, I like to remember things like that, that these words kind of get in our bones. And it's all right for some people to say, hey, we can't pray that because it just gets by routine. It really only gets by rote and routine when you let it. It's not the fault of the prayer itself.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, the Lord's Prayer, if you let it sit in your bones, or any of our prayers of the church or prayers of scripture, they'll be there when you need them and you can think of nothing else.
Yeah.
I know this just as one example, at the memory ward of a nursing home that I spent some time in with some church members. They're having trouble with their memory, and it's a difficult time for a family and a person. And you go into minister, and one of the things that I found is there's hymns hidden in those hearts, and there's the Lord's Prayer and Psalm 23 and some other things hidden in those hearts. And boy, oh boy, it's wonderful.
Isn't
I also like
amazing?
The idea that we, when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we're not just saying your name is holy. It's like it's like, I want to participate in the revering of your name. There's a whole lot of really cool.
Yeah.
Like I'm
it's
just
almost like
that.
help me keep your name holy. I feel like there's that element in there. Yeah. It's not just stating a fact.
It's like, I want to be a part of this.
Right.
That next line is what, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Yeah. Right.
Come to me.
Help me.
You know, this is
help
awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Awesome.
So,
all right.
That kind of laid out a good foundation for the positive end. We're gonna go to the prophets. It's about to get real negative.
Yikes.
It's worth remembering that though the commandments are typically thou shalt not and you shall not, there the mirror end of that is the vision of what shall be, right? And so I love that the catechism pulls out and tells us that while we are not to take the Lord's name in vain, that really we are to revere and hallow the Lord's name. So here in the prophet Malachi, I really want to say Malachi, but I just can't make
the
it
the Italian
happen.
Prophet?
The Italian prophet Malachi.
Malachi.
Now that we are doing injustice to the Italian, stereotypical Italian accent. I love the prophet Malachi. It's like a little back and forth. But it's only a few chapters. Go read it and enjoy it. But there's just a few selected verses. And what they're going to do is give us some example of the fleshed out idea of revering God's name. So just a few verses in chapter 1, for example, 6 and 7. A son honors his father and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due to me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask me, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible, et cetera, et cetera. So he kind of goes to show that it's more than just, saying a cuss word after you say the word God.
Yeah.
But that showing contempt for God's name is played out in our action and behavior, you know? So just a few other quick verses here, because I think the point is relatively self-evident. In verse 11 of chapter 1, my name will be great among the nations from where the sun rises to where it sets, and every place incense and pure offerings will be brought to me because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty, casting the vision for how it should be. Mm-hmm. Real quick over in chapter 2, he says, if you do not listen, and if you do not resolve to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse on you.
Ooh.
Yikes. And I will curse your blessings.
Yikes.
Yes. Yes, I have already cursed them because you have not resolved to honor me. And then let me read one more from chapter 3, verse 14. You have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord God Almighty? You see, so it just gives this image of even further trashing God's name because we ain't getting anything out of it. Mm-hmm. So it's just a really great way of recognizing not just that the Lord requires that his name be great, but how that plays deep into our behavior and in our lives and how we view what God's laid out.
Yeah.
Mm.
That Malachi.
Yikes.
That's so good. And pre-recording, Alan and I were talking about how this command has a sense of not just what we say, but our actions. And the prophets like Malachi will remind us that taking God's name in vain is not just about what we say or what we put at the end of the name of God or whatever. It is... is everything. We're going to talk more about what it means to take God's name in vain in just a minute, but actions are a big piece to this. Disobedience are a big piece to this.
Yeah.
Especially if you're being disobedient while saying that you are a disciple or a follower or these type of things. Interesting yikes. Stuff. Yeah, yikes. And then we are going to move into Deuteronomy, which everyone knows is one of my favorite Old Testament books. Another thing we were doing before and was I won't say we. Alan Kaysen, and I think Jim got in on this a little bit too, but I'm going to give full credit to Alan.
Hey,
that he baby shark.
Don't take my name in vain.
Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy.
And this is the day that that's baby shark, that Podocasis jumped the baby shark.
The baby shark.
We've gone off the rails.
We have gone.
Our audience is gone.
I would like to take this moment to apologize to all of our...
Network called us. They just moved us off of the network.
If we ever make merch, we're going to have a baby shark Deuteronomy thing.
Yes.
So we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy, just a couple of verses from chapter 28. If you, this is from 28, verse 58 through 59, if you are not careful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear his glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring on you and on your offspring extraordinary afflictions, afflictions severe and lasting, and sickness and sickness grievous and lasting. So the Deuteronomy, so Moses is retelling the law. 40 years in the desert, the Israelites have wandered after being disobedient in the original generation out of Egypt. Were disobedient. They did not trust God in taking the promised land. So God had them wander in the desert till that first generation dies off. And now that second generation is at the Jordan River. They're getting ready to cross. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. Moses, one of his last acts that he does before he dies, he doesn't even get to go into the promised land, is to retell the law and to reteach this law to this new generation so that they know who they are as they enter into this promised land. They know the promises of God. They know their history. They know who they that what they're supposed to be, their identity in this. And he will end, he ends the book of Deuteronomy with these warnings, basically, pretty dire warnings. In chapter 30, he talks about, I set before you life and death, so choose life that you may live, which is a beautiful way of saying, you know, but also a stark way of saying, hey, obedience matters. Being obedient to the law matters. And here's just another piece to that. If you're not careful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the name of God, the name of Yahweh, fearing it, being reverent, obedient to it, taking it seriously, that the name of God, the who God is, and that God has called you and God has set you apart and made you holy, it matters. If you don't take this seriously, then there are consequences to this. Hmm. And we might read these in the Old Testament, these curses or whatever they are, and think and to be taken aback by it. But the truth of the matter is all of us are under the curse of sin. And that and sin is that brokenness before God because of our disobedience. And so, yeah, if we're not being obedient, if we're not doing what we're supposed to do, there's problems there, and part of, and that means taking when we take the name of the Lord in, seriously when it matters, we'll listen and we'll obey Him. Hmm. So yeah, Deuteronomy, like I said, is one of my favorite passages because of its teaching the way it itself is a catechism for the Israelites getting ready to go into the promised land, but also it is pretty clear in its prescription of this is how you live and this is how you don't, and it's important. And Jesus will come back to Deuteronomy a lot in his teachings. Mm-hmm. Now, what we need to do is talk about why this commandment matters. And in order to do that, we first need to ask the question, what does it mean to take God's name in vain? Now, in popular, and And today, if you ask a lot of people what it means to take the Lord's name in vain, many times they'll think about cussing, mm-hmm. so saying a bad word, or however.
And instead, they'll just say, "Gosh darn it!"
Yeah, gosh darn it!
Right.
Well, I didn't take his name in vain.
Mm-hmm. I skirted the law on that one.
Yeah. Well, I have this picture, and I apologize to anybody who's listening who is a part of this generation, but I feel like I had this picture of it of an older generation fussing at a younger generation for saying a bad word, or mm-hmm. saying GD, or saying something of that nature,
right?
With God's word tied into it, with God, right. You get the name of God tied into it, and that is certainly not honoring God.
Sure.
I don't want to be misheard there.
Y'all should know that Alan wants you all to cuss. That's really what he's saying here.
Yeah. No.
He wants that expletive tag on our podcast. Bro.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mature.
R-rated.
Please carry on.
The commandment says don't take God's name in vain. It doesn't say don't say God's name in vain. And what really, I was just telling, as Brett was alluding to earlier, I was telling Brett before we started recording that just sort of preparing for this, it became very apparent that it is way more than what we just say. Yeah. It is about what right. we do, and that we could be doing stuff without ever mentioning God's name, but we are trying to do some, or we feel like we're doing something in God's name, and yet it's not, we're not honoring it. And there's a passage in Samuel, and God's upset with Samuel's sons for not living out their priestly duties. In fact, they're taking a sacrifice for themselves before it's ever given to God. Yeah. I mean, they're just in all kinds of wrong.
It's like they're leveraging their role with God to just build themselves up. Yeah, they're just taking advantage.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is taking God's name in vain.
That's emptying the name of God.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so this has much more than, it's beyond what we say. Yes, what we say is important, and we should not, Israelites wouldn't even say, they wouldn't even say Yahweh, right? But it's how we live. It's how we worship. Right. It's all of that. So,
right. Yeah. So think about it like this. I've got a handful of kids in my family, and shut your mouth. There's almost four of them. I get it.
You're about to eclipse me, buddy.
I do have a rabbit, Warren. I get that. So here's the idea. Like, you probably remember this maybe when you were kids or with your kids or you've seen other kids. I don't know. Dad told me to tell you to go do this, that, or the other.
Right.
I've had my kids, I won't name them because they're all precious, wonderful creations of God, try to leverage, my name or their mom's name, the title mom and dad, to make their brother or sister do something that they want.
Yeah.
And so a name is more than just like you have to watch how the word comes off your lips. It carries with it the whole identity.
Right.
So, one of my pet peeves, and I have church members listening, and I love you. You haven't done that in a long time, church members of all of my churches. But one of the things that bothers me is when people won't take responsibility for themselves, and they'll be like, "Well, the pastor just said you should," or "The pastor wants this." And it's like, no, the pastor doesn't. They're just using the title of the pastor to have influence. You have this whole thing like, I think this probably come around in the latest political seasons, or maybe it's been frequent, the phrase, "Not in my name."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about matters of justice or political mm-hmm. ideology or mm-hmm. other things that we do collectively, that all carries the force of what it means to use God's name rightly.
Right.
It's not just to say things well, but everything you do under the guise of God or in God's name can either profane or hallow God's name. Mm.
Absolutely. John Wesley, in his explanatory notes of the Old Testament on this verse, on this commandment, he actually lays out kind of five things about this commandment. He says, about when he says, supposing that having taken Jehovah, which is he calls Yahweh, for their God, they would make mention of his name, this command gives a caution not to mention it in vain. And it is still as needful as ever. And he's talking about that in the 1700s, and I think he would agree with that today. And then he says, we take God's name in vain by first by hypocrisy, by making profession of God's name, but not living up to that profession. And man, we could just stop there, right? Like that could just, boom. Mm. Secondly, by covenant breaking. If we make promises to God and perform not to the Lord our vows,
Hold on. Can we back up? Because John Wesley sometimes hits me with like a sledgehammer and tears me up.
Yeah.
Back up.
Yes.
Are you saying that in my profession to be a Christian, if I get pretty lukewarm, that I might be taking the Lord's name in vain?
That's what John Wesley
is. Oh, that hits me hard, brothers.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm sorry. That's just.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hard. Carry on.
You know, sometimes in John Wesley's explanation notes of the Old and New Testament, sometimes he'll just write like a couple of words and move on. Mm-hmm. On the Ten Commandments, he's written little treatises on each one, and which shows that it's important. Anyway, so second he says, by covenant breaking, if we make promises to God and perform not to the Lord our vows, we take his name in vain. Third, by rash swearing, mentioning the name of God or any of his attributes in the form of an oath without any just occasion for it, but to no purpose or to no good purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth, by false swearing, which some think is chiefly intended in the letter of the commandment. And so falsifying. So he's laying out there about there are some commentaries and some scholars who think that specifically what this commandment is speaking to is a false testimony type stuff. And then fifthly, by using the name of God lightly and carelessly.
Mm.
Now, that's the one that really got me. Yes, that first one, the hypocrisy part, was hit me as well. But that last one, and if I should dare say, if I may be just a little controversial for a moment with some of our... It, maybe to a few of our listeners or most of our listeners or whatever. One of the things that I really get bent out of shape, I get upset about as a follower of Jesus is when people use God for their own ends.
Oh.
I'm talking about politicians of every stripe. This is not just a Republican versus Democrat or whatever. This is Republican and Democrat and independents and ... When we use God for our own ends, for our own power to make our name great, to try to weasel into certain corners of the country, of a population or whatever, to say, I'm part of you because I know the Bible and I know what God wants. That right there, that's what Wesley's getting at here on that fifth piece, by using the name of God lightly and carelessly.
Well, you sure can win a lot of arguments by just throwing the sledgehammer of God around, can't you? But you can also use Christianity as a Trojan horse, can't you?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, just sneak in whatever. So I see what you're saying there.
100%.
Yeah.
And one of kind of the background commentaries I was reading in prep for this, it was talking about this. It says that the second commandment was concerned with exercising power over God. The third commandment is concerned with exercising God's power over others.
Mm.
This is not about blasphemy or foul language. It's about evoking the power of God's name, which was intimately connected to the nature and essence of God's being for one's own gain, power, and will. Well, it's idolatry.
Yeah, I think one of the ways we do that is we take God's word out of context.
Yes.
We take this verse over here and this passage over here, and we use it for our gain and for our end, and not how it was originally intended. Mm-hmm. So I think, I mean, all those, woo, buddy, yeah,
and that's hitting. You know, Brett, are you still? If you want to rant, still, you go ahead. Let me know when you're ready. I love it when you rant.
Well, I will say on the yikes part, Wesley will say this. He will say, the sinner may perhaps hold himself guiltless and think there is no harm in it, to obviate which suggestion the threatening is thus expressed, God will not hold him guiltless. But more is implied that God will himself be the avenger of those that take his name in vain.
Avenger.
And they will...
Avengers is simple.
And they will find it a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Ooh.
Oh, gosh. Doesn't that sound...
That sounds...
That's Jonathan Edwards.
Yeah, that's Jonathan Edwards. Sinners in the hands of the angry God. Yeah. Oh, well, don't... I don't know. Modern-day Wesleyans don't like that. That well, God might be angry, but I guess Wesley himself might.
What was the quote of Wesley? What was the last quote?
It was that more is implied that God will himself be the avenger of those that take his name in vain, and they will find it a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Of the living God.
Living God, not angry God.
So, yeah, of the living God. And he's quoting Hebrews.
Fearful thing.
He's quoting Hebrews, that last part. It's Hebrews. Yeah. It's not, you know. And so, you know, God has the right, and that's the thing, to avenge, to be, and we've talked about this. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord.
Well, you know what? Praise God that he has the right to avenge, because it means that it's just vengeance, and
it's out of my it's also out of my hands. It's out of my hands.
Amen. 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 But it also means this matters.
You know?
Oh yeah. Oh, is that what this podcast is about? Why things matter?
Why what Christians believe and why it matters.
Why it matters.
Yeah, why it matters. So yeah, I'm done ranting now. Go ahead, Jim. Or whoever.
Hey, you made me forget. That's good stuff. Oh, here's what I wanted to do. Yeah, Brett, I'm with you on that rant. One thing that I like to do that makes a lot of people mad is say, I'm so glad that these other people do these things that make us upset.
Ooh.
What? Mm. How do we then? Let's turn the telescope inward.
Amen.
Telescope? Whatever. You get my point.
Microscope, telescope, binoculars.
Microscope. yeah. So I would suggest that for anybody who wants to make a critique of the outer world and people out there, it's at least worthwhile maybe to take a moment to say, okay, how is the log in my eye? Not that we have to do that here, guys. We might not need to air our dirty laundry, but I think it's a good practice.
Yeah.
I could probably think of some ways that I'm, especially if I take Wesley's thorough treatise on taking the Lord's name in vain, I'm sure that there are many ways. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage y'all, whenever we have a critique of someone way out there, that we also follow spiritual advice and take a look at our own hearts.
So, I want to speak to that because I think this is a God thing. Well, all right,
no, go ahead and play it.
So, I was listening to our sister podcast, the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirited podcast.
Yeah, the Holy Spirited podcast with David Watson, Maggie Ulmer, Scott Kisker, and on the Spirit and Truth Podcasting Network, which we're a part of. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to that today, and they had a guest. This is a couple years ago, who she's a pastor in Texas. And she has had in her pastorate after graduating from seminary and serving just a little bit, she had an experience, a kind of a charismatic experience, charismatic revival in her life. And it caused her, this charismatic revival caused her to start repenting of things that she had been teaching. Of wrong and being in a season of repentance for wrong teaching, bad teaching, leading what she would even had said, possibly leading astray some of her flock. So for us, kind of turning inward, that got me. When she said that, I was thinking, and you know, I'm a pretty orthodox, theologically conservative guy. I'm sure there are things that I teach that are not right, and I need to be mindful of that. The things I say to people, teach people, that's turning inward to me. This is a serious thing. This is not just a flippant, it doesn't matter. No, it eternally matters, and repentance is a big part of this, I think.
Absolutely. I jokingly say that when I retire, you know how there's a retirement service and you get, you know, your 2 seconds to say something. My only thing is going to be say to the Adrian charge, my first appointment, my first four churches, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yes,
because
absolutely.
I mean, who knows what I was teaching and preaching, and you know,
well, you were like even, 6 years old.
Well, that's true. I was still in diapers, but But even just a few years ago, I mean, you know, I think it is. I think it is important to just reflect and to, okay, wow, what am I teaching? As orthodox as you say, you know, as you said, that we think we are, but we have to be careful about what we're teaching.
Yeah. The name of that podcast was Plain Truth, a Holy Spirit podcast.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes. Yes, I hope y'all will subscribe to
Get these podcast names right once we figure things out.
I just call it Maggie's Hour with David and Scott.
That's exactly what it is.
There you go.
Maggie's Hour with David and Scott. Yeah. So, and I'll encourage, we'll do this offline, but yeah, we could follow that lead too. And then we could also just think of the other ways that we fall short. Just want to be real, you know, convicting here today.
Right. Yeah.
But then I'll stop there.
All right. So, you know, I think we've already kind of led into what are some of the ways we misuse God's name today. Well, that's important for us to think about and to be repentant of. That piece, though, that last piece, the yikes piece, what is meant by the Lord will not hold him guiltless. And many commentators that I was looking at on this was this idea of we may think that it's not a big deal on our end, but as Wesley would say, God does, and he will take care of this. Mm. Now, here's the deal on that. Forgiveness is still a big thing.
Yeah.
Any place you see these ideas of curses and blessings and whatnot in the Old Testament, the idea of forgiveness is still there. And we see this get played out in the ministry of Jesus. Things that were considered generational curses, Jesus breaks through those curses, be it illnesses, someone who can't walk, someone who's blind from birth, these type of things. The popular idea was that somebody sinned either in their family or in their lineage, their ancestry, and you're blind because of that. Well, Jesus breaks through that and brings healing, but also brings salvation, the forgiveness of sins. And so when you read those ideas about curses, what I would say to people about that is don't get scared about those. Ask yourself, am I guilty of any of the sin that's led to this in my own life? Mm. And two, am I willing to receive the forgiveness that Jesus offers freely to me by his grace, by his love, by his mercy?
Yeah.
God's grace is powerful to break any curse, to break any. And, you know, in my own life, I've got a generational curse of alcoholism that runs through my life, my family. And I believe that Jesus has delivered me from that. Now, I'm not an alcoholic. I've never had a problem with alcohol, but I'm so aware of that. And I lean on Jesus even today, even as one who's never been an alcoholic, you can guarantee as a husband and as a father of two precious boys that I don't want to get sucked into that. And I have asked Jesus to deliver me of that, and I do believe that he has. But that also means I know that is there all the time. So that's just kind of a sidebar to say, if you ever read about these curses, don't be scared of them. Look at them as opportunities of forgiveness, of healing, of breaking generational, you know, chains that do follow us down. Mm. And there can be forgiveness in the breaking, as in any of these commands, there can be forgiveness in breaking this command.
Truth. I think it highlights the seriousness with which the gravity of who God is in God's name and how then we are to live in there. Yeah. You know, I'm mindful that these commandments are offered to a community that God is forming as his own. Ooh, you know, yeah, this is to God's people. Yeah. So it's really for us about what we are not to do, because the promise, think about this, the promise for the Israelites as they're receiving these commandments, the promise is really already there. I am the God who delivered you from slavery out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. Miraculously, you've been following me in a pillar of fire. I've forgiven you for your idolatry. Now you will be mine and I will be your God. Mm-hmm. Now here's what not to do. If you take them out of context, then you can really believe that God is only about what is not and about how bad people are and how mad he's going to get at you. But remembering the wider context of this story, and then the fact that there's also a corollary to every thou shalt not, and that's this is how it is.
Right. Right.
Wow. God's name could be made holy in my life. I could, in a whole, I could bear God's name in a way that hallows God's name in the streets that I walk, in the rooms that I enter, and the people that I'm with. I can do that by God's grace. Mm. So you see, let's hold both of those things. It's, if it's that serious to take God's name in vain, it might be equally as serious to bless people through hallowing God's name by the way that I live.
Ooh, that's so good. And yes, absolutely. I completely agree. And maybe that's where like revival takes place. Like that's maybe that's where awakening in a community takes place, is from people or a person repenting of their sin and taking seriously the name of God in their lives, the presence of God in their lives. One commentator, he said this, I think this goes along with what you were saying, Jim. The third commandment is directed not toward Yahweh's protection, but toward Israel's. So it's a community thing. Yahweh's name must be honored, blessed, praised, celebrated, invoked, pronounced, and so shared.
Yes.
To treat Yahweh's name with disrespect is to treat his gift lightly, to undermine his power, to scorn his presence, and to misrepresent to the family of humankind his very nature as the one who always is. And that's the one who always is his translation of I am who I am.
It just hit me. You know, you're talking about the positive, not the negative, in terms of, you know, the commandments written in the negative, but there's the opposite of it, and that's the positive. And how can we speak well of God instead of talking about don't take the Lord's name in vain? How can we speak well of God? And I'm just going to give you this little quick story real quick. It just happened yesterday, and didn't ask my 9-year-old if I could get her permission, but I'm using it. So we spent the last few days waiting on a COVID test result. So we're dating this podcast now. And fortunately we got a negative result. So we spent Monday, Tuesday, and most of Wednesday waiting for this result to come in. And she started feeling better from whatever she had, about Tuesday afternoon. And so Wednesday was a really good day. And we were out doing some errands that I needed to do because I was stuck at home with her. And we come up to the church to do something, and she was in the car and I was grabbing something, and she come out of the car and she said, "Daddy, I just prayed really hard for 5 minutes that I would get a negative test result and that I could go to the trunk or treat at church tonight." So, you know, but of course, here's what happened. I began to prepare her for her prayer not to be answered.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. I don't know how I feel about what I did, but anyways, I just said, "Hey, listen, just be, you know, that is awesome. I'm glad you brought that to the Lord." But, you know, sometimes God didn't answer the prayer the way we think he should be answered. He always answers our prayers, but he didn't always answer it the way we think. Sure enough, 5 minutes later, I get a call from the hospital saying her test is negative. And
5 minutes later.
5 minutes later.
That's fantastic.
5 minutes later, I get a call from the hospital saying she's negative. And of course, after that, she's able to go to the trunk or treat, which were both of her.
Yeah.
And I just thought, Lord, how awesome of that. One, to show me, okay, listen, I'll show you I can answer prayer. And two, what a testimony that gives to my daughter. Yeah. You know, and I know that's such a simple thing. Jim, you shared it one time with me about praying for something with your car.
Yeah. I still have the car part.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And so, but I think we think about these little mundane things, that we shouldn't even pray about, which I think we could pray about anything, but, just speaking well of God. I mean, what a great testimony my daughter has, my 9-year-old, that she can share, and she can speak well of God and make his name holy. I don't know. It was pretty touching yesterday. So
that's great.
I had an opportunity at our traditional services, last week, 2 weeks ago, to share my testimony. I've done that at my contemporary service a few times, actually. But you know, the story I've told on this podcast of going to Chrysalis and having the moment of hearing God speak to me, telling me he loves me and giving my life to Jesus. And my background growing up the way I did. And I just realized in 12 years of being at St. Luke, the traditional service folks never have heard that story.
Oh, wow.
And so I got to tell that story, even with the parts that might, in a traditional service, might seem kind of weird. You know, the guy putting his hand on my head and me falling out and that kind of stuff, the more charismatic pieces to the story. And all for the last 2 weeks, I've been getting phone calls, emails, cards, not just with people saying, hey, good job on Sunday, but with thank you for telling us a story about what God has done.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I think that's the big deal. I think we all have a story. God has changed our lives. And so that is, I think, to tell our story, to tell God's story of working in us is a way to keep his name holy and hallowed. Absolutely. As we pray.
So. Absolutely.
Gosh. Yeah. And just to talk to people about who God is. I don't know if y'all are pretty versed in this. I think some people are more gifted than others. It just took me a long time to be able to just talk about God without being in a teaching or preaching context. And I think that the more we're with God, the more we learn and study, have conversations like this.
Yes.
Even with you as you listen in your car, my friends.
Yes.
God will give us opportunities to, we'll learn more about who he is. Mm-hmm. We'll enjoy him more.
Right.
We'll be able to talk about him with great love.
Yeah.
Well, I think about the thing about sharing our stories is that people can't argue with that. I mean, not really. I mean, like,
that's true.
I mean,
that didn't happen to you.
We can debate an answer. We can debate an answer to a question. But all I'm doing is telling you what God has done in my life. You can't really, all you can do is just sit there and listen.
That's true.
And we can all do that. And it can be as short, as long as we want to make it. We don't have to have all the right answers because we're just sharing our story.
That's right.
So I think that's the beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I think if I'm going to have a takeaway from today's conversation, I think I've got five of them, but I'm just going to do one.
Okay.
I mean, this has been a really, y'all have just blessed me greatly in talking about this. I like the emphasis that I think, was it Wesley you were talking through in this section, Brett? Man, my day-to-day life is pretty, like, it should be seriously after God.
Yeah.
Not should be. I don't like should, but it should be.
It should be.
But, like, if I'm going to claim, you know, Christian faith, I should at least be striving
Absolutely.
With my spirit to be surrendered and yield to God. More and more. And I just want to be mindful of that more. It makes me hungry for more of God.
Yes, I agree 100%. Well, man, this has been awesome. Kind of a peek behind the curtain for our listeners. We never really know going into each episode what we're going to get out of each episode.
No, there's an outline, a pretty thorough outline, but it never happens.
That's exactly right.
You know what? If we ever do a Patreon, we'll give you access to our outlines.
That's right. I keep every one of them. So there you go. Absolutely.
Yikes! Zoinks, jinkies. An outline. Give here $5 a month.
There you go. Anyway, so our next episode, we will be doing the fourth commandment, which is keeping the Sabbath holy. This is one commandment I don't do well, so I'm going to turn it over to my guys and just not show up. And keeping the Sabbath holy, we will be talking about what the Sabbath is and why it's important and why it matters today. As always, we are, just a reminder, we are part of the Spirit and Truth Podcasting Network. You can find us at spiritandtruth.life. And just want to mention the Spirit and Truth Conference happening in mid-March. You can go to spirittruth.life to find out all about the Spirit Truth Conference. If you register for it, you get $20 off your registration by entering the word podekesis in the discount code box. That's PODECHESIS, podekesis, $20 off your registration. You can hit us up on social media at podekesis is where you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And as always, please leave us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Let us know what you think of the show. We may even share your review on the show. You can call us at 404-635-6679 and leave a voicemail with us. And we may actually share that voicemail as well. Just let us know what's going on. If you have any questions about something we've been teaching or that we've been talking about, if there's been a correction, we won't play corrections. No, I'm just kidding. We will.
Call us to the carpet. Here's what I want you to send us a voicemail every time Brett's been wrong, and we'll play him on the air.
Well,
that sounds like a great idea.
Not the times that I've been wrong, because I'll secretly go in the middle of the night, delete those from the account so the guys don't know that they came in.
I was wondering why we had come in. So anyway, Podokesis community, we're so grateful for you. Thank you for everything, Podocumens, and we look forward to coming to you once again in a couple of weeks as we look at the fourth commandment on keeping the Sabbath holy. Until then, I'm Brett Maddox.
I'm Jim Morrow.
I'm Alan Kaysen.
And we will talk to y'all later.